This is a session on poetry and prayer. Kathleen Mullen and a wonderful group of bold people. And the title of this session is Sharing and Shaping Words. Today, did you enjoy the readings this morning at breakfast? I thought that was really, really nice. And thank you, Connie, for this is Connie Kinsel.
Very good, Connie.
Did the adaptation one.
The
one on annotation. Okay, now, what Connie Kinsel and Cindy Gustafson and Marcy Wirth can do, we can do also. And that's the idea of this session. This is a workshop session, so if you've come to sit back and knit, you'll have to kind of take that out
Should
of your fingers for a while. I have some
tablet.
Extra paper. I didn't bring any extra pens. Who's got something to write with? One, two, three. You have two. Okay, good. And everybody else has kind of some. Okay, good. That's something. And I've got some paper. So we don't need to worry about that.
Does anybody need a pencil?
I do.
Okay. All right. I think what we need most of all is a little bit of willingness, a little bit of openness, and a little bit of courage to play with some of the things that we've been working with these last couple of days. Those of you who've been here will recognize a couple of the lines of poems that we've worked with the last few days. Glory be to God for, I'm not going to add that word in there, that's Gerard Manley Hopkins's word, but I'm hoping that your words will be something a little bit different today. And then the other one from Robert Frost, he says, I'm going out to clean the pasture spring, but we'll see what you guys are going to go out or go to do at the end of this session. I began this poetry and prayer session by saying, borrowing really, a quotation from one of John Schramm's lectures. He says that you don't really understand a thing unless you experience it. You don't really, really learn anything about something unless you try to do it. And that's what I'm inviting you to try to do today, to share and shape some of your words into something that might possibly be used, read at breakfast at Matins next week, who knows. And at any rate, something that you can take away with you, that you can keep with you. If only to remind yourself that at one point in your life you had these words, you thought this thing. Thoughts, we can keep thoughts, I guess, but if your brain's anything like mine, it's getting to be like Swiss cheese and things fall through the holes a lot more readily now than they used to. And so I figure this way, that if I can think something, if I do it for myself, even in the shorthand, I try to say it for myself in some kind of words, then I'll have that thing in a different way than I have it if I only think it and it goes out of the window, or if I only feel it and it goes out of the window. So while I really believe that poetry is a very dynamic kind of thing, I think that we do have to catch that feeling, that thought, that emotion, that moment of recognition in some way. And for the poet, that way, that net is words. And so I'm going to invite us today to try to make some words and to try to learn some ways to share and to shape those words into something that you can have. Maybe it's like a craft. Some people learned how to make plaited birds today. My housemates have been huck toweling at a great rate. So we've got a needle pointer over here. This is another kind of craft that you can think of doing and taking away with you from Holden to hang up someplace and remind yourself of it. The way I said that reminded me of a poem by Walt Whitman. The name of the poem is, I Found in Louisiana a Live Oak Growing. It's a very complex poem, I think, but the essential idea is a simple one. Down in the Louisiana swamp, with which I identify at a great rate, there was a piece, a live oak growing, and a piece of moss, Spanish moss, growing on that live oak. Whitman really looked at the tree, really looked at the moss, took some of the moss away with him. And now, as he writes this poem months, years later, miles and miles away, he looks at the moss, and he can recapture that moment that he understood something about nature and himself in relationship to nature. And he has that. He keeps it to remind himself of that experience. So that's what I invite us all to try to do today, to make something that's yours, that's unique, to bring away with you, to keep, to remind yourself of this, of some experience. Now, we talked the other day in the session called What Do Poets Do? About a couple of ways that poets could get started in thinking, in making some words. The two up here are clustering and free writing. Clustering is a technique which only uses words, word association patterns, to try to get beyond our resistance to writing stuff down. If we only have to write words down, it's not so bad as if you have to write full, complete sentences with capitals and periods at the end of it. The other technique is called free writing. Free writing is much the same thing. The attempt to write without worrying at all about what you write down on the paper. Free writing has only two rules to it: start writing and keep writing. and he really literally means that, to start writing on something and to keep writing on something for a specified, fairly short period of time, for about 5 to 7 minutes. Now, all of you can write 5 to 7 minutes. How many, if I would say to you, okay, now go and write something for 5 to 7 minutes, how long would it take you to even start writing something on the paper? If you're anything like the students, it would take you 4 or 5 minutes to get over this terrible block of, look, there's all of this white space here and I have to fill it up with something. But if the free writing says, just start writing and keep writing. If you don't know what to write about, you write, I don't know what to write about. Keep repeating some phrase or other. But the idea is to keep your pen or pencil moving so that your brain in some way follows the movement of your pencil, and you will find by the end of this, as my students do all the time, that you have in mind your next thought at the end of this. Your head always goes faster than your pen can copy down what you think you're saying up there. So that's the exercise that I'd like for us to try, for this, to generate some words so that we can play around with some other techniques to share the words and then to shape the words into something that you would like to keep, your particular craft. So I have some paper here. Does anybody have a pencil? Everybody, who needs a pencil? Anybody have a pencil? Okay. Well, here, you can have a sheet of paper. Does anybody need a piece of paper? Yeah. Okay. I bought this in the bookstore especially for you. Well, and there's lots of table space so that you can just sit around the table and get started on that. Okay, everybody? Good. I've got a courageous person in the back. So why don't you spread out, find yourself a spot on the table, and don't do anything until I say go. And then I'm going to.
Did you have pencils?
I don't. Does anybody have an extra pencil? There's lots of tables. This is not a communal activity. Lots of tables. Any place you can find a spot, just spread out and get yourself ready for that. Fine.
Yeah.
Two.
Second thought.
Okay. Now remember, no scratching out is allowed. Okay. Everything you put down on this paper is valuable for us at this stage of the exercise. Everything that you put down. You may not stop. You may not lift the point of your pencil off of the paper. Okay? Now, what are you going to write about? Oh, I don't know. There might be something in your mind that especially calls you, some experience that you've had, something that you have seen, some, I don't know, some question that you have in your mind. So if that is so, right at the top of the paper, the topic that you think you might like to explore, to write about. And think about that. You can think about that for a minute. And write that down just at the top of the page. That's going to be your starting point. Okay. Now, if you don't have a starting point of your own, I might suggest mountains, or the creek, or some member of your family, or maybe the word prayer, or just something that you can generate some words about. Okay, is that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can it be an event, or will that be too much of a
Can you put that event in one word? Or can it be a kind of, yeah, it's okay if it's a story. It's okay if it's a story. If you've got a storyline, that's terrific. If you've just got associations with a single word, that's great too. So this writing that you're doing now is kind of clearing the field, kind of getting out things, anything that you might want to think about this particular thing, person, topic, or event. Anything. Anybody got a watch that I can see? Okay, thank you. We're going to use 6 minutes for this writing, free writing experience. So I'm going to start you off at 10 minutes after 4.
It's slow, by the way.
It's terrific. Yeah.
I have a quick question. Is it to write sentences or just...
Oh, you can write sentences if you want. You can write words if you want. If you misspell something, that's fine. If you don't know what word you want to use, say, there's a word here, but I don't know what it is, and go right on. Don't let anything block the flow of your thought into your pinpoint.
What if you finish both sides?
Yeah, sure, I got a lot more paper. No problem. If you see you're running out, just raise your hand. I got a lot more paper. You can skip lines if you want. You can write real scrunchy and tiny, or you can write any way you want. This is an absolutely free writing exercise. Okay, everybody ready? Go. Mm-hmm. From what?
From starting out pretty nice to getting scrunchy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I bet if all of us would hold up our pages, that would be exactly the same. Same thing. Is everybody's handwriting changed somewhat? Luanne, yours didn't. Yours is still pretty much in control. I got scribblier as I had more things that I wanted to say. Anybody else have any perceptions or yeah? Mm-hmm.
Well, my writing is better than usual.
Any reason for that, you think?
Oh, I think I was thinking lovely thoughts. And I wasn't rushed with thoughts, and I heard the noisy scratching
of the pencils. Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
That annoyed me.
Well, maybe you need to practice your free writing in solitude next time, as most of us do. Yes.
At the beginning, I started just writing probably adjectives more than anything else, and then all of a sudden, I started writing sentences.
Okay, those adjectives triggered something that you wanted to say. So from sensations almost into some kind of a communication of an idea. Okay? All right. And I bet you that the ideas are more interesting because you started off with the adjectives.
Yeah, I ended up taking all those ideas. I didn't finish, mm-hmm. but that's what I was
No,
doing
we about. Never finish. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is a very important thing. This is the first draft of about, oh, I don't know how many you might eventually end up doing with this. So to finish is never the thing. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Some more perceptions about how you felt while you were doing this, what your paper looks like, anything.
Well, thoughts kept coming like you said, that you could never write fast mm-hmm. enough.
Okay. Why don't you take a look at what you've said. Look at what you've said. Just read it back over again, not what you've said. Do you find anything surprising?
I found that I went from seeing the things that were out there to my thoughts about what were out there. Not just, you know, observations, but the way I felt about them.
Anybody else?
I went in a circle.
You went in a circle.
I started out in one and went way around and came back with the same thoughts and ideas.
But somehow different.
Different.
Yeah.
Because it came from a different idea. It was part from it.
Anybody else? Something that surprises you. Something you didn't know you thought. Something you
I
hadn't.
I started out very light and, you know, beautiful and wonderful and got into a very controversial place where I didn't want to be.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. That can happen sometimes. Madeline Lengel says, the person who chooses love or writing as guides for her life must be very brave because they may lead into that dark place of death. And, you know, a lot of different dark places of death in all of us at any time. So you must have hit one. Okay. Kind of a little scary there, but that's all right. Writing is a safe place to be scared in. I didn't know I was going to say that, but that sounds right, doesn't it? Writing is a safe place to be scared in because you can take it out and look at it. You can see what's out there. Thinking is not a safe place to be scared in. Not for me, not in my head anyway. Anybody else? Some different experiences or things that you hadn't expected to see?
It made me realize, in a way, I keep a diary, and there's quite a difference to, I would imagine, to writing a diary or writing a journal. Because this, my style here, became more like a journal. When a diary, you sort of don't put as many of your feelings as you do. It's funny, because you have this little space. And you just
my secret diary.
So journal, because I've read about that, journal writing is supposed to be, you know, very helpful to most people.
Yeah, if you're interested, there's a set of books in the library, something that I've been wanting to get into and learn a little bit more about. Ira Progroff, anybody heard about him? He has a series called Intensive Journal Keeping and does workshops with that all over the country. So I don't know enough about him to recommend or not to, but the stuff is there if you'd like to take a look at. Okay, now do this exercise on the piece of writing. That is you, by the way. I mean, that's an outpouring of something that's in you, something that's not consciously crafted, but something that has come out of you in some ways. Circle words that you like. Go back and read and circle words that you like. Words that somehow, well, I don't know, just words you like.
Single words?
Single words, phrases, whatever. Good, there are some. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I know there are. I hear them being circled on the page. Anybody want to give us one that you like? A word or a phrase that you like? In your writing.
Feathers.
Feathers. Anything. Choices. Whatever you circled.
Choices.
Choices. Choices, okay?
Swoops down.
Togetherness. Swoops down. Ooh, got a swoop in here. Good motion word there. One of mine was flashing. And I kind of, you're welcome to come. Please don't leave.
This is the one I was looking for.
Oh, all right.
Sneaks up.
Strange but intimate. Wow, incredible. mine was flashing, but I had originally written floating. And when I reread it, I read it quickly, and my handwriting was all scribbly by that point. So I got flashing, and I started to talk about the deer floating down the road, but the deer flashing down the road sounds even better to me. So I like that one. Togetherness, swoops down, strange but intimate. Something over here.
Melt.
Anybody?
Caressing.
Caressing. And?
Depth,
okay. Very different pieces of writing, it seems to me, that we're all doing. So, words that you like. Words, things that you hadn't known that you were going to say, but somehow catch something for you in even this beginning free writing. Yes.
Come? No.
Okay. Okay, now comes a little harder part. What we've been doing is kind of just pointing out, picking out things that stand out for us in some way. Now, a little bit of a harder part. After we've got all of this stuff down here, not all of it's good, not all of it's useful. Some of it is, maybe a lot of it, but not all of it. So read it through again and find the part that you think says what you're interested in saying here. Find the part that capsulizes your main thought. There's a deer? Okay, just find the part that catches that main thought and say it in a sentence. In a sentence now. Not just words, but in a sentence at the end of this piece of writing. And this is hard.
I mean, just sort of getting the whole, condensing the whole thing?
Or the most important idea. What I've been doing in this is a technique called summarizing. After you let yourself be as free as possible in the writing and in the gathering in of experiences, now you're forcing your mind to say, all right, what does all of this lead up to? What does all of this suggest for further exploration? What sense can I make out of this piece of writing? And your sentence there has summarized what your main feeling about it is. Okay, it's 4:30, okay, and we have about, I think it's a little later than that, right? It's 4:32, and we have a few more minutes to work on this beginning part before we try to share and to shape some of these words that we have. So take that sentence now, or that idea, that thing that has crystallized out of your first overflow of thoughts and feelings, and do another free writing using that as the starting point. Okay, now we'll do a shorter one this time, only 4 minutes this time. So another short free writing using that as a starting point, that idea.
You mean using that as your first sentence?
As your first idea. Okay, go. There's a different feeling in the room this time, wasn't there? You know how I sensed it? Did you hear as much scribble scratching as before?
No.
I didn't either. There wasn't this kind of rush to get everything down. What was happening to us this time?
Trying harder.
You were trying harder?
You were thinking harder.
You were, because you had already condensed, you had already said, this is how I'm crystallizing this thought. Now let's go deeper. Let's take off from this thought and see where this next thought might lead me. So I would suggest to you that this technique, you know, can be used in a lot of different ways and gets you to think things that you didn't know you were thinking before. Okay, now comes a bit of the hard part. And this, all right, it's a hard part, and I'm not going to pretend that it's not. Now comes the part in which we try to share the words that we have made. First of all, to get something that you would be comfortable in reading aloud to somebody else, and then reading it aloud and getting some feedback from those people, and then going back, finally, to make your craft. Have your few words that that are yours out of this experience. So let's see. We're working kind of on a hard time. So why don't we take 5 minutes now to look back over what you have written, okay, and come up with a sentence or a few sentences that you would feel comfortable reading aloud to somebody else. And not all sentences, remember, are statements. A lot of sentences are questions. But if you have questions, make sure that there's some kind of I don't know how to say this quite, some kind of association, some kind of surroundings to those questions. Something that makes your questions make sense to the person who might hear it. Some reason, perhaps, beyond your questions. So So let's take 5 minutes, and it doesn't need to be long by any means, but it's something that you could say to somebody else and hear what that person says back to you in response.
Is this supposed to be kind of a statement of what you've been trying to write?
Mm-hmm. Just something that you can read aloud to somebody else. Okay, now, when you read what you have written to somebody else, I want you to think about three of these four things. First technique is pointing. Pointing only means this. You say to the other person, what words stood out for you in that person's writing? Just words or phrases, okay? Don't talk about ideas at all. The words or phrases that stood out for you in that person's piece of writing, okay? And then add one word from your voice, from your head, which you think might go along with that those words that were strong for you in that piece of writing. Listen to it, hear it, point out to that person the strong words, and then add one word of yours, your head, which might go along with that. Okay? Secondly is telling. When you want to tell somebody, you want to try to get the basic idea that you think that person is trying to get across. Repeat to that person in your own words what you hear to be the basic idea that that piece is trying to get across. That's just plain old telling. Okay. Then say something that's not there. Okay? It's one thing to tell somebody what is there in a piece of writing, but what you might have expected to hear and didn't hear, something that's not there in the telling. So pointing, what words stand out, and add one word of your own. Telling what is there, and then what is not there. And the third one is showing. Okay, and this is kind of a weird one, which may be helpful, may not. If this piece of writing were a color, what color would that writing be? What color comes to your mind when you hear that writing? If this piece of writing were a musical instrument, what kind of instrument would it be? A musical instrument. If it were an animal, okay, what kind of animal would it be? And if it wore clothes, what kind of clothes would this piece of writing wear? Okay, now you can see how different these are, these responses are, from some of the other more rational responses. You haven't thought of your piece of writing as having clothes on before. I know you didn't. Now what this tells us is, on a subliminal level, what kind of effect these words have on the audience who hears them. Okay? Now, there's one thing to say more about this. This is not a critique in the sense that you're looking for something that's wrong. This is a feedback session. This is how this piece of writing struck the other person. Okay? And there are two things to say about that feedback. Feedback is always right. Okay, because it's really an honest response from the person who hears it. And it's always wrong, because it's not your writing. You don't know what that other person intended or meant to have happen. So, writers, your response, your feedback is always right. There's something true in that. But it's always wrong, too, because that's your writing, and you're the one, finally, who chooses how you want that writing to be. Okay, let's see. It's 4:45. Why don't we take 5 minutes for each person's piece of writing? And I'd like for you to read it out loud. Whoever wants to go first, then. Read it out loud to your partner. Okay, And if it's short enough, maybe you'd like to read it another time. And then you be quiet and let your partner give you the three feedbacks. Pointing, what stands out, telling, what you think the whole thing is all about, and showing, what color, instrument, animal, and clothes. Any questions? Yes.
As they read it, should we take notes?
No, this particularly is a short enough piece, I think, that you can keep it all in your head. Sometimes, no, don't write anything down. Look that person in the eye. Concentrate as much as possible on the words that that person is giving you. But don't try to make any notes about it. Anything else? Any other questions?
Questions are a whole thing.
It's whatever you would like to read to the other person. Okay? I mean, do you realize you folks came in here not knowing one another's names for the most part, and now you are reading things that you have written to one another and listening to what other people say, feel, hear that you have said? I mean, if this is not an experience of community building and of communication and of trust and openness, not to mention freedom, I don't know what is. And I think you guys are just terrific for giving yourself to this play and this game, which is a very serious game, I think. I think it's a very revealing game. It can teach us a lot about ourselves and how we respond to things. So anyway, this has been a bit of poetry. This has been a bit of play. This has been a bit of prayer, if prayer is trust and openness and focus and attention to one another, words that we've been using over and over again. And I thank you for the transforming effect that this encounter with one another has had on the air of this room. So, don't go in peace. You're in excitement.